There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Andy, what did we like today?
Well, as usual on a Friday, we liked Martin Kellner and Mike Ward. Yeah. Ali Ross popped in, full of TV critics today. And interesting story from Ireland. That
was good. Yeah, about the old boss of the FAI. Very intriguing stuff. Is that all? I think it is.
We had a chat. And what's becoming known as the Trini Lopez affair. You'll hear all of that.
That's right. Yeah, but you can't wait, kids. Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And I switched between England and Scotland last night. I managed to miss two goals, England goals, brilliantly doing it. And so annoying when you do that. And
you're best not doing it. I believe our mate Max Rushton, he had the three TVs going. And even then he had to miss one of the countries.
It's like red zone. I can't concentrate. I'm one game at a time. But it was interesting with Connor Cody. He had a good game and, of course, he scored. And Sam Matterface was telling us it was 462 games between goals for Connor Cody, which, when you think that he plays for Wolves, and he's a centre-half and goes out for corners and set plays with a team that got players like Neves and Traore and Johnny and people who can really put
is he all that?
No,
you're expecting more goals from him.
I'm just saying it's a curiosity, isn't it, that he hasn't scored more, really.
It's true, because he had a couple of chances last night and he got in good position, so you would imagine that would happen more often, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, we talked to Ali Ross about the Scottish game. It was the Scotland game. It was one of the worst games I've ever seen.
It wasn't great.
I only watched
the
last 15 minutes and extra time. It was.
But sometimes
desperate.
It's just to be, you know, if they can turn it on in the next game, then all will be forgiven. But it was. I mean, the players were saying, you know, without the fans there, they said they felt it would be more difficult without the Tartan Army. So we'll chat to Ali later, who is.
Yeah, it might make an away game a bit easier. Army. That's true. And of course, my old friend Rabbi Matondo was playing for Wales, and he's very happy the game wasn't last week on Yom Kippur. Well, it would have been difficult.
It would have been. I think it's Rabbi, Andy.
I know
you do.
and well done to Sam Matterface. Our own Sam Matterface had a good game. I enjoyed listening to his commentary. He had one very good line, actually, about the fact that Douglas Ross, the Conservative MP,
and
running the line. He said, it's lucky that there isn't a crowd, otherwise the front benches would have given him a warm welcome.
Yeah, they would.
Good, yes.
Yeah,
good.
I've been thinking that. I mean, he did an Old Firm game, didn't he? And I was just thinking, you know, sort of generally that bit of govern, I think it was at Ibrox, wasn't it? They're not massively keen. So he might have got a bit of clog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not great. And what else have I got here? Hang on. Snooker's Mark Williams. This is an odd story. He had his card cloned. You know how they take your credit card.
Oh, yeah.
And before he could do anything about it, the thieves got away with 8 pairs of trainers. Well, perhaps you might expect that. 9 pairs of slippers. Which is quite an odd thing. A day at a spa, 8 Just Eat takeaway orders, a Sainsbury's grocery shop, and a kitchen sink plus taps.
So they basically took everything, including the kitchen sink.
Very good.
They really did.
Yeah, they did.
What a thing to do.
I know. And
that's an interesting spend-up.
Just a very interesting spend-up. Really weird.
I had a weird one of those where someone got into one of my accounts and ordered some games on this was a good few years ago, on CDs. But they weren't master criminals because they were sent to me. Games were sent to my address. I thought they were planning to come round and have a game with me.
Yeah, well, I did think that.
So
about
I contacted
this.
The company and said, "Do you want to come pick these up?" Because you know, they admitted that something had gone on, but that's a very not raffle.
I mean, presumably the kitchen had to be delivered. The kitchen sink plus taps.
Yeah.
So you'd imagine that the police will know who these people were. It's a very strange one, really. Yeah. Anyway, we'll
it's
see.
It's kind
if
of
that
a sporting
develops.
Story.
Andy,
have you ever had a wardrobe malfunction? Have you ever had one of those moments where
a Janet Jackson? Situation.
Well, maybe an accidental one. Have you had one of those where you've just, as they say in Alan Partridge, popped out of the side or something?
I can't say I have, not really.
Well, it's in the news today because Jessica Robinson, 29, did you see this?
Oh, I love this story.
She did 30 length at the swimming pool with her bum out. She said, she's swimming away. It was only at the end of it she realised.
Do you like her turn of phrase?
She had
it's
a
wonderful.
Large rip in her costume. Got to 24 and thought, smash it, go for 30. Get to the end, the woman says, excuse me, love, think your cozzy's ripped. Reach round and all my backside is not quite what she said. She's been behind me with my backside bobbing up and down like a boy, doing breaststrokes so legs are going like Kermit.
It took me a bit of time to work out what she meant by that.
Jessica got over her embarrassment by going back to the pool in Atherton, Great Manchester, a few days later, but said she nearly got herself a swimming cap and goggles as a disguise. But they wouldn't recognise your face, would they?
Not really, no.
Jessica, let's be honest. So if you've got a few tales of the wardrobe malfunction within, you know, the realms of taste, considering it's lunchtime and stuff, do let us know. The Jessica Robinson situation is Glenn is probably already calling it. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. TSHANDJ.
More news of the Duke of Kent.
Oh, yeah, good news.
He's not just Wimbledon. He's the Chancellor of the University of Surrey. Held a meeting with the sort of top brass there yesterday. Yeah. And they're offering now degrees in tennis, green grass court care and strawberry cultivation.
Oh, is that right? Good. Oh, fantastic. Good.
It's unlikely. Brooklyn Beckham has, we've been hearing plans about his wedding and to Nicola Peltz, isn't it? I think she's very wealthy anyway. But romantic Brooklyn proposed with a £150,000 ring he designed himself, but only asking her dad for his blessing and his dad for the money, I'd imagine. Who knows? Maybe he's got it himself.
Might have his own cash, Andy.
Yes,
you don't know.
You don't know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Joining us now to reflect on a very entertaining game between
God.
Which saw Scotland and Israel, that's Scotland advanced to the finals of the playoffs and potentially a place in England's group in the Euros.
That would be exciting.
That would be exciting. Tartan Army foot soldier, furloughed at the moment along with the rest of the Tartan Army. Ali Ross, Sun TV columnist. Good afternoon, Ali.
Hello, you cheeky monkeys.
Well, there may be some people waking up this morning thinking, I didn't see the game last night, I'll watch it. But best thing is, just spawn through to the pens. Say, it's really 2 hours of your life you'll never get back.
It's 4 hours and 5 minutes, if you include the preamble. Yeah, it's a shocking game. Once again, we looked like we'd only just been introduced to each other before kickoff. It was a hoof up the park to Lyndon Dykes, who chested it down for someone who wasn't there.
Good tactic.
120 minutes. But we can take a penalty.
Oh, you can. Oh, they were great. How often, Ali, have you seen Scotland play really well and lose? Wouldn't you rather just have the odd duffer and come away with the win? It's about the result sometimes, isn't it?
The first part of your question, how many times have I seen Scotland play well?
Were you going to say seven? You're going to give me an actual number. Three.
Three.
Okay.
Three. Twice in Lithuania away. Forget the other one. I suppose you'd settle for that. But there's a lot of work to be done before you take on a team like Serbia, who can be a bit cranky. They get weird results, but they've got some good players. So if we play like that, we'll get beaten 3-0, I'd imagine.
No crowd might help a bit, you know, sort of, because it's quite a hostile place to play. And but it was interesting because when Liam Cooper hit the post and that sort of 119th minute header, I thought, I wrote down over there, you know, Scotland are going out now. And so fair enough to them, actually. It would have been easy to lose the momentum and lose the penalty shootout. But that first save was sensational and they really did hold their nerve. So you've got to give them credit for that.
Yeah, apparently they had done the homework. I think Stevie Woods, the coach, I'd watched the video, was told him which way to dive, because as a Javi's the regular penalty taker, and it did the trick. So They prepared something well. If not the rest of it. You watched that, Andy?
I did. I turned over after it was 2-0. I watched 15 minutes of the first half. Then I turned over after 2-0, watched the rest of the game, which was about the last 15 minutes. And then when
you're talking about England.
No, I'm talking about... Yeah, I turned over at England's game and then I watched about the 45 minutes of it. It was just...
Crikey.
We've got a Scottish bloke in the office here and one of the bosses here, and he just said that was the worst game of football he'd ever seen in his life. Fair enough. And you won.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Was that Callum?
Yes. It was Callum, yes.
It was Callum. His normal, cheerful demeanour wouldn't be the same.
Yeah. Now, but I take your point about...
Sorry I put you through that, Andy.
It's going to be a tough final, but the old carrot of it being in England's group, I think will spur them on. That would be very exciting. And if we just get into dreamland and say we can have lots of fans there because there's a working vaccine, wouldn't that be a joy?
Yeah, you described that as a carrot. England sound like a really hefty stick at the moment. I think a good side. And the disappointment of all this is having waited so long to be in a position to qualify for a tournament, it's not in one country.
Mm.
I mean, I'd love to be going to Spain or have Italy or Germany or something like that to look forward to. But the games are at Hampden and Wembley.
Yeah.
With, you know...
Yeah, it's a shame, really, because the travelling and everything is all a big part of it. So exactly. I did feel for you this week because part of your duty is to watch the Steph McGovern show.
Oh,
honestly.
I just watched that. She starts today's show by asking, what TV shows from the past would you like to bring back? Well, whatever was on in your slot.
Of course, we're on when she's on, so I've never had the pleasure. So,
I did watch a bit when we were off. I think it's not great. And then one day she had no viewers at all, which I thought was quite a fine achievement.
Actually, record that at any point. I mean, or
I did
not
say to my wife, who looked at this person and thought, here's the person to present at lunchtime. Chat show. I don't know. It's odd, isn't it, really?
Well, okay.
It's the weird one. It hasn't worked. She had a guy with an owl on his arm and one of those big leather gloves the day before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he introduced, this is Neil from Whitby Falconry Centre. What do you do? Falconry, really. It was the owl, not a clue.
Yeah.
Not even seem to have picked up the basics of TV.
Yeah, I know, it's incredible.
It's quite Partridge,
really.
Neil, from the Whitby Falconry Centre, isn't it, really?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, well, it probably does devour quite a lot of material, that sort of time slot, I would think. So.
Yeah, you're up against nothing, boys. You're going to clean up here.
So, it's going to be tough against Serbia, as you've said, but you'll have a few players back, hopefully, and there seems to be a good team spirit there. I mean, are you pleased with Steve Clarke and the job he's doing?
The jury's still a bit out because we just haven't had one decent performance while he's been manager, and he seems to play people like McTominay out of position, and it doesn't really look like it's working at the moment. And he's also reluctant to bring in youngsters. We'd all been hoping before he got injured that Billy Gilmore would just stick him in. Come on. He's clearly got it.
He's nearly back, actually. You'll be pleased to know. He's only about four weeks away now. And I think the Tierney thing is just... I know we've got rules. I know we have. But it does illustrate the inconsistency of everything. He passed the test. He was distanced from the bloke who actually got it. And he was prepared to get a private car back to Arsenal. And all that's been denied. He's got to stick around in Scotland for 14 days. It does seem a bit much.
Yeah, it's ludicrous. There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to this. And it's just one thing after another. Whatever else Steve Clarke does, he looks to bring back Lee Griffiths for the game against Serbia because the fans are, just from looking at the forums, are crying out for that to be done.
Right. And is that likely to happen, you think?
We don't have a lot up front, so I don't see why not. Yeah.
Good stuff. Ali, lovely to talk to you. Good. Have a good weekend. Enjoy all the fine TV on offer.
Thank you very much.
And the column
he's
back
not allowed to watch fine TV.
No, he cast not. He's not. He's there for his excellent column every Tuesday. If you get a chance to read it, and it sounds always very funny.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport, and unfortunately Republic of Ireland lost on pens last night and failed to qualify for that Euro 2020 playoff final, which is a blow to fans of football in Ireland and indeed the FAI's coffers, which
are not
in great nick at the moment. We know this from a new book called Champagne Football, Mark Tye and Paul Rowan. Two journalists from the Irish Sunday Times did a fantastic job telling the story of the now infamous, probably more infamous than he'd like to be, John Delaney. It's John Delaney and the Betrayal of Irish Football, the inside story. I'm very pleased to say Mark joins us now. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. The book has been a big seller, I see. You're into about three reprints. I mean, it's interesting. It's a book, effectively, you'd say on the face of it, about football administrator, not that sexy a subject. But reading the book and realising just how much of a celebrity John Delaney was, he did Strictly in Ireland, didn't he?
Well, yeah, they did a charity Strictly event. It was a fundraiser for a John Giles Foundation, kind of a charitable type event. And you know, John Delaney was both the compere and the contestant in it. And there was pictures all over the Irish media, you know, of him with leggy dancers, models, and he met his future fiance there. And this is one of kind of a number, a series of publicity events he did, you know, where he's promoting himself as this larger-than-life character that you wouldn't see in football associations anywhere else in the world.
What made you investigate the story in the first place?
John Delaney, he ruled the FAI for 15 years, and he'd been very secretive. The association had been very secretive, and they'd taken a lot of court actions in Ireland. John Delaney had personally sued a lot of media organisations, and I'm a news reporter, and my colleague Paul is a sports reporter, a soccer correspondent, and there was always a whiff around the FAI's finances. We suspected, we have this big stadium in Dublin, the Aviva Stadium, and when they built it with the Irish Rugby Football Union, the tickets didn't sell out. The FAI were looking to sell tickets at a cost of €32,000 over 10 years, and they just didn't sell them. And there was always a suspicion that the FAI's finances were in deep trouble. But what Delaney did was insist that, no, look, it's all fine, and we'll be debt-free by 2020. It was kind of a mantra he had. So we dug in and we were asking questions. And then in March last year, I got a tip-off that Delaney had actually had to bail out the association, his employer, to the tune of €100,000. And that caused him to run to the High Court to seek an injunction to prevent us doing the story. And thankfully, we had some very good lawyers in the Sunday Times, and we got a good senior counsel and a good judge. And late on St. Patrick's Eve here, kind of a night for partying in Dublin, but we got this judgment in our favour and we got the story out there, and all hell broke loose from there on.
It seems he was desperate to be popular, wasn't he, over at various tournaments. I think it was over at Euro 2016. The drinks are on me, lads. He'd get in with the fans and be one of the boys and buy everybody a pint, and the word would get out there. It was an interesting approach, wasn't it? You don't normally get that. Bert Milicic didn't do a great deal of that, I think, when he was at the FA.
No, yeah, it was in 2012, actually, in Poland.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
John Delaney. I was there as a fan, and you know, you'd see him going around, and word would spread among the Irish fans that Delaney's in the pub next door, free drinks, you know, and people would run in. And he was deceptive. Like at one stage, Ireland lost 4-0 to Spain. It was a horrible game for Ireland, but Delaney was on the out on the lash, basically, and extolling the fans, saying, well, I'm sorry we let you down, but you're the effing best fans in the world. And he was clearly the worst to wear for himself. He famously got carried home on the shoulders of a number of fans and lost his shoes. And but when he was challenged about this, he was saying, you know, what other CEO would get treated like that by their fans, you know, held up on their shoulders? He saw this as a badge of pride, you know. So he was a guy who kind of had a very large ego and didn't have a kind of an embarrassment gene.
Was he popular with the fans? I mean, apart from sort of moments like that, what did they make of him? What did they make of... Because obviously, you've uncovered most of this. They probably didn't realise the sort of things that you've uncovered were going on. So did they think he was a good guy?
There was... It was kind of a split between Irish fans, and it got quite frosty, and there was a lot of heave-hoes between fans. Like, a lot of fans, he would have gone to their, you know, AGMs and splashed out tickets and free drink again, and they would have very much been loyal to him and supported him. But then there was fans who were asking, you know, very clever fans who were asking corporate governance questions, questions about finance. And, you know, they would hold protests against Delaney. But, you know, he'd get the Irish Gardaí or the stewards in the Aviva Stadium to clamp down on them, or even at away games, they'd have flags seized. So there was a real split between the fans that were doubting Thomas's and those that were, you know, Delaney had kept on side effectively and had their loyalty. So there was a real split between the Irish supporters for many years until the full extent of what happened. And, you know, one of the things we uncovered in the book was he had a 50th birthday party where it was a James Bond theme. He had Alexander Seferin, the UEFA president, over in Mount Juliet, a well-heeled golf club in rural Ireland. And, you know, he had an ice sculptor made out of a Walter PPK. He had waiters dressed up like James Bond baddies, and this whole thing was on the FAI's cost. It was €80,000. He repaid €50,000 of it, but left the FAI with this tab, you know, for this amazing lavish event where you had the great and good of Irish society there. You had a video tribute from Alex Ferguson, and the Irish president wrote a letter to him. So he really was this larger than life character. And, you know, the football administrators who I spoke to were there going, well, who's paying for this? You know, and it was only later that we said, well, actually, it was the FAI paid for that. John repaid some of it, but the FAI still picked up a substantial tab for that lavish event.
Why does this happen? It's not the first time we've seen this with football administrators. I mean, have you looked at some of the reasons why you think this kind of thing happens?
Yeah, I suppose there's always a problem with blazers in every sport, you know, getting too much power. Like John Delaney came from the grassroots. He was involved in Waterford, a regional club here in the League of Ireland, and he rose to become an executive. You know, he was hired as the CEO back in 2004. But it's a problem you see around the world with FIFA, and it was kind of ironic that John Delaney would have been quite out there and forthright criticising Sepp Blatter and all the corruption in FIFA, and yet he rose to such high places himself with UEFA, you know, and he was never shy to criticise others. All the while, like as we say in the book, you know, he spent over €500,000 on his FAI credit card over less than 5 years, and 125 of that was found to be personal expenses. So, yeah, I suppose it's a problem about power being vested too much in one person and no checks and balances being put in there. Corporate governance isn't a sexy thing, you know, but it's very important to have a finance director or an auditor that can say, hang on, why is that money going to a birthday party, or why is that money going on your personal rent or your credit card? So these corporate governance isn't, I suppose, something that's high on the priority list for organizations like FIFA, UEFA, or the FAI in this case. Well, that's been the case in the past, and this is the problem. These are the stories that come out of it if you don't have those checks.
And finally, Mark, what state are the FAI's coffers in at the moment, and how much of a blow was not having the chance to qualify for next year's Euros after losing last night?
Yeah, they're in very bad state. Not only, like, there was a €2.7 million tax bill arising from unpaid expenses and stuff that wasn't declared properly under the Delaney era, but losing out last night is going to cost the FAI, you know, €10 million of income they would have got. We're going to host games in Dublin, unfortunately, and Ireland aren't going to be there. So they're very much relying on the Irish state to bail them out and UEFA to guarantee a new loan they got from the Bank of Ireland. So it's kind of years, decades now of paying back these debts is the future for the FAI.
Well, good to talk to you, Mark, and thanks very much for joining us.
Delighted, yeah. Thanks very much, guys.
Mark Tyne, Paul Rowan have written Champagne Football, John Delaney and the Betrayal of Irish Football. It's published by Penguin. We said very big seller in Ireland. And a fascinating story, a forensic job they have done. much to...
Yeah, amazing story.
Yeah, Mr. Delaney's displeasure, as he proved a few times. Anyway, very interesting read. It's Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport, and all really you've done, you and Ali Ross, is driven people to go and watch Steph's Pack Lunch. Max Rushton switched over straight away. He said they were reviewing a hoodie / blanket and hand warmers. You may have lost me forever. So well done, Andy. We're losing audience thanks to you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ben Jacobs here on TalkSport. Clips of the week, Todd Macklin, Mike Ward with a pick of the non-sporting telly, but with a week of sport on TV now, it's Martin Kelmler. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, boys. You all right?
Yeah, yes. We're not too bad, Martin. Yeah, what have you been watching this week?
Well, we were talking last week, I think, about Jackie Stallone, whose obit was in most of the papers. And she was a promoter for something called GLOW, which stands for Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, yeah. There was that for a Netflix series, wasn't there?
There was, absolutely. It was initially a TV show in the 80s, and then there was a documentary in 2002. And then there's a Netflix series, which it started in 2017, but still sort of going. They're all there on Netflix. So I had a look at that, having read all about Jackie Stallone. I thought it'd be interesting to know what it was all about. Don't watch with the kids, though. It's mildly pornographic, I think is the best.
Okay. Yes.
Well, it's women wrestling, but there's a sort of backstory, and it's not for the kiddies, I would have said.
Fair enough. Okay.
basically. But she's an interesting character, Jackie Stallone. And as I say, all the obits were in the papers. She was in, obviously, the Celebrity Big Brother program. Yeah. She invented Rumpology. Have you heard of Rumpology?
That was of the Bailey.
Rumpology of the Bailey.
Very good. Rumpology. Yeah. No, it's an astrological thing. It's a way of reading people's fortunes, not looking at their... It's like palm reading, except you don't look at the palm.
You look at their backside.
Correct. Examine the bumps and crevices.
Wow. Tell whether you're going on a long journey. There was an old joke about that that I possibly can't tell at this time of day.
Go on,
remember
Paul.
No, I can't.
Would, Martin. We know.
Yeah, yeah, you would. You're lethal, but I can't.
But anyway, it's fun. I have to say, it is fun, this Netflix series. I never thought watching... the whole point of the original 1980s thing is it was a wrestling promotion. It was mainly would-be actresses, stunt ladies, that sort of thing, who wanted to get into showbiz. So they weren't wrestlers at all, but wrestlers were brought in to train them in the moves and such like. And it's got an actress called Alison Brie, who's very, very good. Her real name, Alison Brie Schremerhorn, but she dropped the Schremerhorn, as it were.
Dropped the Schremerhorn. Hashtag drop the Schremerhorn. Yeah, I never knew that.
Schremerhorn.
That's really interesting. I never knew that.
Mm. Anyway, she wrestled under the name in the programme of Ruth Zoya the Destroyer Wilder. She's in Mad Men, actually.
She is in Mad Men, yeah. She was in Community as well. She's very good in there. I've got to be honest, Martin, I watched two of them when it first was on Netflix about 3 years ago, and I didn't stick with it. I just wonder if this is a bit of a byproduct of streaming things. Sometimes you think you watch a couple and you think, do I want to commit?
I've done that a lot.
Do I want to
commit
another 5 hours of my life? I'm not sure I do. I'm not that invested in them. I quite enjoyed it, but not enough to keep going, really.
I would say the same thing. I would say to anybody, watch one or two and you'll quite enjoy them. And you wouldn't want to, unless you're that desperately interested and invested in the characters, you wouldn't watch the whole thing. Now, I'm with you on that, but it's mildly diverting.
It was sport, so that's what I was drawn to. And of course, they bully you into it because they start showing the next episode almost as soon as the first one, and then you're there, aren't you? You're stuck.
You end up with the binging situation. Now, one for you for next week, Martin. We're going to watch it as well. It dropped this week. It's called The Playbook. It's a five-part series about coach. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's about different... Each one is on a different coach.
Jose's
We've seen a lot about Jose and all or nothing, but still, I can't get enough of him.
No,
I'm sure it'll be very entertaining.
Well, they use him on the trailer. So, he, you know, I've seen the trailer for Playbook with him sitting in a chair saying he doesn't want to talk about other coaches. Oh. Not much he doesn't.
That's but, the whole idea of the show, though, isn't it?
Of course it is. Of course it is.
You think they would have worked that out until he got, before he got there? I'm not really going to talk about any other coaches. Yeah. Well, they've got some good people. They've got some really top American coaches. It looks quite a good show, that. So
definitely. Yeah, no, I intended to watch that anyway. Yeah. Also been watching, I know, as you have, I'm sure, Andy, the tennis on Eurosport, the French Open.
Not one for, shot.
Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, it's talking of shots, actually, it's presented by Barbara Shett. Oh. And they all, as we've said before, really ought to be called Game, Shett and Match. Yeah. But they won't
do
that. We
won't be doing TV formats for her, though, will we?
No.
High-risk strategy, that would be.
But well done, Eurosport, because obviously with the social distancing and all that sort of thing, difficult, you can't get people into the studio for interviews. And they have this bizarre sort of whirry thing that goes zzz, and then into the studio pops Novak Djokovic. You know, and he's actually obviously being... it looks like a hologram, and it's very, very good. He's obviously being interviewed somewhere else. Or he's listening to what Barbara Shett and Tim Henman, who are the two interviewers, are saying. But he appears to be there in the studio. It's like a hologram, rather like Laurence Olivier in that musical all those years ago in the West End.
Do you think Tim Henman offers Eurosport a reduced rate? Because he's famously gets an absolute fortune from the BBC for doing Wimbledon. And people are always upset about it. They say, well, why are they paying him all this, you know?
Okay.
He doesn't add a great deal, I agree with you. But, you know, he is Tim Henman, I suppose. She's great. I like her a lot. She smiles all the time. You never, ever catch her without a smile. And she's bright, and it sort of brightens it, especially when you're watching at midnight, because the match between Nadal and Jannik Sinner, the young Italian, went on till about 1:30 in the morning. And I do like to have a little flutter on tennis. Right, you know, okay. I find tennis is a good betting sport because you can bet on...
Do you like going on the outer court, Martin?
No, I know what you're
exactly... qualifiers.
I know what you're referring to there. And not at all.
No, of course not.
I did make the mistake of betting against Nadal. He looked a bit jumpy to me in the first set. And I bet against him because I think this Italian guy is going to, Jannik Sinner, is going to be quite good in his day, really good. So I put money on him. I didn't realise you could still be losing money at 1:45 in the morning. So
please gamble responsibly.
Please do. I just looked
up Barbara Shett. I'm just Googling, and Martin's right. She's always smiling.
Well, she is. Well, we could always get her in here when you're doing the birthday spread. That'd wipe the smile off her face. What about the feud on My Five, Martin? What was this?
I watched that as well. I watched that. I enjoyed it very much. It was mostly just talking heads. Some lovely, nice shots of the Icelandic volcano. Basically, what happened is that they had to go by coach. Barcelona had to go by coach to Inter Milan.
This was the show about Jose and Pep, and I didn't watch it. But yeah, I wish I had. Yes,
you can do. It's on My Five.
Oh, what?
I checked that it was still available before I started talking about
it. Yeah, sound good.
So, yeah, it is good because, we know about all the incidents, but they're all brought together. As they've got older, there's been less of that antipathy between them. But Chris Sutton, if you want to take what he says with any authority, says he thinks it's still, he's not my favourite pundit, I have to say. He says it's still unfinished business, and he thinks that when City play Spurs, the rivalry, the antipathy, the hatred, etc. between Pep and Jose will be revived. I've got my doubts myself. But some good talking heads in it. Graham Hunter's in it, and I think anything that Graham Hunter's done, I've talked about him before, haven't I, about his famous intros that he used to do in the Mail on Sunday.
He's very good.
He is very good. So he was in it. And anybody you want to know, Steve McManaman was in it talking about the history, you know, and how it's so political between Barcelona and Real Madrid. Steve, as we know, is a reader in modern history at the University of, Anyway, but Steve was quite entertaining.
He did
on
play
that.
For them, Martin.
He played. He of course play he did. I know. I'm being... I'm being
Spurs played City under Jose. Yeah, they must have done, haven't they?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, we beat them. Steve Bergwijn scored.
Oh, yeah, Bergwijn. That's right. It was his debut. Very early.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't remember it being.
Martin, we're going to have to leave it there. You're on overnight.
I'm on overnight when I can talk about Scotland versus Israel, which was the other thing I sort of watched.
Oh, okay. Yes, we did that.
You'll have a bit more time to talk about what was a highly entertaining game. So, okay, Martin, all the best.
Penalties always entertaining.
They are. The penalties were. That's very true. So, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. tonight and tomorrow night.
Well, 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. strictly speaking. We do a little documentary between 5 and 6.
Oh, okay.
And I can have a little lie down.
That's good.
Well, tea or something.
We'll catch up with you next week, Martin. Thanks very much.
Excellent.
There we are. Martin Kellner there with the Week of Sport on TV. I will watch the feud. He's reminded me. It sounds very good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hammers. Hammered.
Well, you get the idea. It didn't quite work, but
I never got that song by Trini Lopez. Really.
If I had a hammer.
Well, if he'd had a hammer, the whole thing would have been. That would be the end of it, wouldn't it, really?
I mean, why is that?
He wouldn't have needed to say, if I had a hammer, he'd had a hammer. Why didn't he have a hammer?
I wouldn't open with that.
And I'm not saying I would. I've just always been puzzled by the Trini Lopez song.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a new young comedian here in the open slot this evening. Give him a big hand. He's known to you on radio. Andy Jacobs comes out.
I can't even remember Trini Lopez material.
That Trini Lopez, if he'd had a hammer, he would have had a hammer. Thanks very much. Good night.
I shan't bother.
Greg Fieldmouse. These are all people that had clips played this week. Greg Fieldmouse, Harry Durham, Alan Jenkins, Jack and the Brain, Bob from Arbroath, Ali, Roger in Durham, Stone, Darren McAntony. That can't be right. You put that in there. AB, that's not. I'm not doing that one either. Most of these are just made up. What's he doing? Jeff Peters, that's for real. He did have one. That was the. We should thank Jeff for the excellent Abraham Lincoln. That was very good. Rufus and many others besides. I'm not prepared to read out because it's getting beyond a joke, to be honest. But anyway, if you have had a clip on this week, please do. If you had a clip, he wouldn't need a clip, would he?
If he had a toolbox.
I still don't quite understand what you were getting at, Andy. With Trini Lopez. I'll explain to you. Okay, thank you. So if you hear a clip on TalkSport over the next 7 days, please do send it to us. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TS Asian J. We'll need a day and a time when it's played. Pretty straightforward. And if it's played on the show, you will get a credit, like some of those people who apparently are real. And if you'd like to hear them again, they'll be available to listen to as a podcast at around 5 o'clock this evening, along with the Asian J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We put a fresh one of those out every day. So just a reminder, if you hear one on TalkSport over the forthcoming 7 days, TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweets TSHNJ with a day and a time. Well, will we catch a mid-George Formby? Let's find out. We're going to get an update on the tennis now from Lisa O'Sullivan. Are you ukulele free this afternoon, Lisa?
I am ukulele free. In my defence, that was moving into the 15th hour of broadcasting on Tuesday.
I enjoyed it.
Started at 10 in the morning and finished at 1:30 in the morning.
I know, you were doing a sterling job.
Yeah.
God, horrendous. I think I can get Frank Skinner on because he can play the banjolele much better.
Oh, is that a banjolele you've got?
No, mine's a ukulele. I haven't got the skills for a banjolele. I think you need extra fingers for that. And lessons, obviously, would be more useful as well. So, Rafa Nadal is in control against Diego Schwartzman, the number 2 seed, 6-3, 4-2, and he is now 15-40 up on Diego Schwartzman's serve. So looking for a double break in this second set. We thought it was going to be a bit closer than this, but Rafa Nadal obviously has decided he needs to get the job done as soon as possible. So far, so good for the man chasing a 13th Roland Garros title. 6-3, 4-2, he leads.
So what is your point, Andy, just before we speak to Rupert?
If he had a hammer...
Who, Trini Lopez?
Trini Lopez. He wouldn't have to say, if I had a hammer, he'd already have a hammer. And why hasn't he got a hammer?
No, but the boy hasn't got a hammer. That's the whole point.
Well, why hasn't he got a hammer?
Well, I don't
Everyone's
know.
Everyone's got a hammer.
Maybe the hammer shop was closed.
Who hasn't got a hammer? What? You got a hammer at home, John?
Have you got...
Yeah. You got a hammer at home?
Bill, you got a roof? You got.
Everyone's got a hammer.
Okay, well, not everybody's got a hammer.
Well, Trini Lopez, that's obviously.
Rupert, have you got a hammer at home? Is he there? Where's he gone?
Hello.
Oh, hello, Rupert. Just before we get the golf, I mean, let's nail this one. So we need a nail and a hammer, of course. Yeah, much more having a nail without a hammer.
Exactly.
So have you got a hammer at home? I imagine you've got quite a selection, haven't you?
I've got a lot of hammers. I don't know what I do with them. I get someone to use it instead.
A little man comes around and does all your work, doesn't he?
That's about the size of it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, plenty of international football on the TV this week, and indeed, we're going to bring
some
games.
Are you going to read Max's
games on TalkSport? Oh, yes, I am. All right. Sorry about that. I suppose I should. Yeah, Max Rushton has been in touch. He's been listening to us and, of course, watching Steph's packed lunch.
He did.
And he said, surprisingly, and the bizarre thing is, they did a whole section on Trini Lopez. Makita Oliver has a hammer. Steph McGovern has a hammer. Russell Kane has a hammer. No hammer. I'll be surprised at that. Thank you very much for that, Max. Anyway, yes, we move on to, as we're doing a straw poll of our guests, and Andy's done his opening Trini Lopez section that really will wow the O2 when it's reopened.
Even Macca says, has he got a hammer or not?
Who?
Trini Lopez.
No, he's not anymore. He's sadly no longer with us. Anyway, Mike Ward from The Star, Brighton supporting TV reviewer. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, guys.
You strike me as a man with a hammer. Yeah, you've got a hammer, haven't you?
I don't know where it is.
Okay.
I think that's significant.
I don't want to borrow it. I'm just interested if you've got one.
But I think if you don't know where your hammer is, you may as well not have a hammer.
Quite profound. I like that.
You interviewed Ashley Campbell, daughter of Glenn, this morning. In the Daily Star. Yeah. Was it a nice album?
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. And very talented woman. Yeah, really good.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, talking of talent, John Lennon's 80th birthday on BBC Four tonight.
Yeah.
That is being celebrated, isn't it?
It is. It's been celebrated with a lot of stuff that's been on before. So there's nothing new, but there's quite a lot of interesting things among it. You've got they're re-showing Hard Day's Night, which is a great film the Beatles sort of film debut, which I think is voted even now, if they do sort of top 100,
Film Buster Friday night, yeah,
put it up there in you know, and it's got Wilfred Bramble in it,
yeah, of course,
Stemto,
it has,
isn't
yeah,
it, playing
yeah.
Paul McCartney's dad, I think. John Lennon's special, Top of the Pop special, that was, I think, done about 20 years ago, but it was all his solo stuff. And then the big thing is the Lennon the New York Years, which is a documentary which I think was shown about 10 years ago initially, and that's a bit about when he moved with Yoko in 1971 to New York, from which he never returned, of course. And it talks about how he often pined for home, and when people came across, he wanted stories from home, because obviously, you know, he felt he missed it on so many levels.
He did a brilliant thing when Bob Harris was on with us a little while ago talking about Manchester United and more. Bob went over when he made the rock and roll album, and Bob went over and spent some time with him. I don't know if any of that's on the Top of the Pops 2 special.
Well, I think, yeah.
Doing Slipping and a Sliding and things like that. It was really good.
Yeah, Bob's put
really
a couple of photos
stuff
on Instagram.
Did
today
you Stand By Me as well on that album? I think something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Really,
Stand By Me was on that. And
she's got him posing on the leather jacket on the cover.
That's it, yeah, in the doorway. So cracking documentary, that. I mean, I think it's still available somewhere. But anyway, hopefully that'll be part of it. So that's 7:30. BBC 4 tonight, and it's a kind of whole evening, I take it, Mike, is it?
Yeah, pretty much, and it sort of goes on from 7:30, and, you know, there's sort of early Beatles stuff after that as well, so you can just settle back and just watch Beatles stuff around and then.
Britain's Got Talent final. I don't watch, I've got to be honest. I've not seen a minute of it. Has it been quite good this year?
Yeah, I mean, they've done okay to sort of muddle through when everything went pear-shaped and COVID kicked in and everything had to be put on hold. So they did the semi-finals in a pre-recorded way, but Ant and Dec living in their own bubble meant that they could be back on stage together. And they've got the judges... with Ashley Banjo sitting in for Simon, as we said before, have picked their favourites, and then the public have been voting for their favourites. So there's basically 10 acts altogether. The prize is still the same. I don't know. I was trying to find out. This prize is still a slot at the Royal Variety Performance, though I'm not aware that it's happening anytime soon. So
it is, really.
Sometime or other.
Queen will be shielding.
As and when they do one again, it might be via Zoom, who knows. They'll get to do whatever it is. At that, and the £250,000, which they'll probably appreciate more, I guess.
If you were choosing, Mike, who would you pick?
Magician Magical Bones, because he's called Magical Bones. I don't even know if it's a woman. I've got no idea. I haven't watched that one.
Magical
just
look
at the lineup. Just this.
I don't know, because there are a lot of magicians on, all of which my wife absolutely loved. I thought the comedian was good last week.
Yeah, he was very good.
I thought he was fun.
I think it's it largely depends on what the viewers are put through, because that's okay. A bit of a mystery at the moment.
Now, the big thing, Sunday night, we see Channel 4, 9 p.m, The Bridge. What's with this? It's not Chelsea-related, is it? Because Andy will definitely watch.
No. It's right. A new reality show, five-part reality show, filmed with a dozen competitors got together in the Welsh countryside, not knowing what the challenge was that they'd signed up for. Mm. The challenge, with a £100,000 prize at the end of it for the winner, is to build, between them collaboratively, an 850-foot bridge to an island in the middle of this lake, as it were. So it's all about sort of, it's like a kind of outward bound thing where everyone has to sort of muck in. And I've watched a little bit of the first episode. Everyone basically argues very, very early on. So it's one of those things where you all have to sort of choose a leader, and you worry it's going to get a bit Lord of the Flies if you're not careful. But basically everyone has to choose a leader and work together and use everybody's skills. Bearing in mind, you've got people, one guy seems to be an engineer. One guy's an acrobat. I'm not quite sure how they're going to use that, although, if you can do 850 feet in one go, then that might get over the problem. And Trisha Goddard's daughter's on it.
Oh, okay.
There you go. So that's a sort of celebrity connection. And the oldest guy's 60, and he's the guy who seems to be falling out with everybody in the early episode, but maybe that
won't. You know what it's like, these older people.
There we are. I probably will watch England, to be honest, but there we are.
So, I sold it to you.
Yes, you have. Excellent. Thank you, Mike. You're fulsome in your praise.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll return on Monday. Have a fine weekend. Enjoy all the live football this week, including the England game on TalkSport.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.